Good morning, everyone. Today's daf in Nedarim is Yud Zayin. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is learned. At the end of yesterday's daf in Tazayin, we talked about the idea of making a shvuah levatal a mitzvah. So you want to, you're not interested in doing a mitzvah, so you make a shvuah to such an effect. So we learned from yesterday's gemara that that's not a shvuah. It has no chalos. It doesn't have any bearing whatsoever, and it's just simply doesn't apply. Why should that be? So the Gemara quoted a drasha yesterday. If you remember in yesterday's daf, in Tet Zayin Amud Beis, so the Gemara quotes the pasuk Lo Yachel Devaro. So he should not make his words profane. So Devaro Lo Yachel V'Amechel Hu Lechevtei Shemaim. So in terms of things that are volitional, so that you can't profane your words, meaning that it is a shvuah, but if it's Chevtei Shemaim, but if it has to do with God and instructions that he gave you, otherwise known as the mitzvos, so then there's not going to be any, you won't be profaning your words because it's simply not a shvuah. That was what we learned yesterday. We spent a lot of time yesterday describing the difference between shvuah and neder, because but when it comes to shvuah, so you cannot make a shvuah to be mevatel mitzvah. When it comes to neder, you can. That was exactly the point of the Mishnah that Mishnah made yesterday, that there are certain chumras that you have by nederim that you don't have by shvuah. So if you make a neder, then I'm not going to sin that sukkah, so your neder is in fact going to take hold, and you can't sin that sukkah. So what are you going to do on sukkahs? You're going to find a different sukkah. But that's the difference between neder and shvuah. So and the Gemara quoted yesterday, we went through a Abaye and Rava at the tail end of yesterday's daf to explain exactly what it would be, or how exactly you're going to articulate and express a neder in terms of not sitting in the sukkah. We talked yesterday about your neder has to have contained within it, not just the, at least according to Rava. This is where the Gemara landed yesterday. At least according to Rava, it can't just simply be that I'm making a neder against the sukkah, but against the utility of that sukkah. Right? And the reason why, as we pointed out yesterday, is because we have another issue, which is Mitzvah's Lav Lehenos Nitnu, that when I'm doing a mitzvah, that's not considered a hana. So when I'm sitting in a sukkah to do the mitzvah, that's not considered a hana. It wouldn't be a violation of the neder. So the neder, in order for the neder to work, so to say, in order for it to prevent me from sitting in the sukkah, so I have to speak about the utility of the sukkah. I'm not going to be sitting in the sukkah. That's the wording of the neder. Okay, well, that all goes back to yesterday's daf, and that's what we learned together yesterday. Shvuah, there's no shvuah that can apply to a bittul hamitzvah. Neder, it can apply. The Gemara, we just pick it up right where we left off yesterday. We're in the very bottom of Tet Zayin Amud Beis. The Gemara says, So the Gemara says, what are you talking about that we quoted a source yesterday? We have another source, Titania. Gemara quotes a Braisa, and this Braisa is going to speak to the same idea. And the Braisa says, Yachol nishma levatos mitzvah. I might have thought the Havamina would have been that if I make a Shvua, that I'm not going to do this mitzvah. V'lo bitel, yachol yechayav. And then I didn't comply with my shvuah, which in this case is a wonderful thing, because my shvuah was I'm not going to do this mitzvah. And let's say my yetzer hatov got the best of me, and I did the mitzvah. Good. What about your shvuah? So yachol yechayav. I might have thought that I would have a liability for the shvuah. Tamalomar lahara leitiv. When you look at the psukim in the end of Parshas Vayikra, describing the carbon that one has to bring when he violates a shvuah, meaning certain for most averus, not most, for many averus in the Torah. So if you violate the Avera, so you have to bring a carbon, right? The Mishnah in Krisus, the first Mishnah in Krisus, goes through the 34 lavim in the Torah, where if you violate them, so you're going to have to bring a carbon chatas. Truth of the matter is that that Mishnah lists 36, but of the 36, two of them are mitzvahs esse. Two of them are positive commandments, the other 34 are negative prohibitions. Either way, that's for many averus in the Torah. However, there's a handful of averus in the Torah where the Torah tells you not to bring a carbon chatos, but a carbon olaviyorid. Olaviyorid just simply means it's fluctuating. It's a fluctuating carbon. It depends on your economic ability to bring a carbon. If you're wealthy, you'll bring an animal. If you're not so wealthy, you'll bring birds. And if you're really not so wealthy, so then you're going to bring a mincha. Okay, this is what's called the carbon olaviyorid. So if you look at the end of Parshas Vayikra, so you'll see that over there. And meanwhile, one of the averos for bringing a carbon is carbon shvuah, that you have to bring a carbon for making a shvuah. The Torah over there describes lahara leitiv, either to do bad or to do good. Bad or good in this context doesn't mean bad or good. Bad or good just simply means to do something or not to do something. Lahara o leitiv. So ma'atav rishus avara rishus. Now, when it comes to Hatava, doing something good, meaning doing something positive, it means volitional. So when it talks about abstention, afhara or rishus. So same thing also when the shvua is not to do something. It has to be something which is volitional. Again, in this context, volitional simply means it's not a mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah. It's not a...
Option.
Right. It's simply optional. Yatza nishma levato is a mitzvah. Which excluded from that would be a scenario in which I made a shvua that I'm not going to do this mitzvah. Velo bitel. And meanwhile, you did the mitzvah. So I might, again, the havamina all would have been that even though you did a mitzvah, which is great, but you made a shvua that you weren't going to do the mitzvah, you weren't compliant with your shvua, the havamina would be, okay, you violated your shvua. You're going to have to bring a carbon.
Isn't that a shvua shav if you...
That's excellent. Just one second. When I say one second, I mean the Gemara doesn't address that question, but I'll tell you where to look for that question. So the Gemara says Yatz Nish Belavato is a mitzvah v'lo bitul she'en rishus biado chad kar lemiftrei mekar b'shvua v'chad lemiftrei min lav d'shvua. So the Gemara says you're absolutely right. There are two distinct sources in the Torah that tells me that there is no such thing as a shvua on a mitzvah. That a shvua does not apply if my shvua is to negate a mitzvah in the Torah. One source is to tell me that there's no issur lav, meaning it's not a negative prohibition. And the second source is telling me that I'm not going to bring a carbon if I violate that shvua. Now, truth of the matter is, even within the answer of the Gemara, the answer is not perfectly satisfying because, truth of the matter is, once that there's no longer a lav, so then obviously I'm not going to have to bring a carbon. Meaning a carbon that I bring is only an extension of the fact that there's a lav. If there's no lav, then there's no carbon. So it is interesting and certainly needs more explanation. The Gemara says, I need two sources, one for the lav and one for the carbon. It's, you know, you could have argued, no. One source is for the lav, and that's it. No lav, no carbon. Okay, but meanwhile, that's it. That's the end of the Gemara. So the Gemara concludes its discussion of this idea of making a shvua to be mevatel mitzvah. Two places in the Torah where we learn out that it doesn't work. There's just no chalos. It does not apply. What about the fact that teshuva shav? So if you take a look at the Rambam, Rambam, the beginning of Hilchos Shavuos. So the Rambam says it is a shvua shav. And there would be a violation in terms of shvua shav. But in terms of a shvua from the standpoint of lo yachel devaro and the karban, so it wouldn't fall into that category, but it would fall into the category of shvua shav. But we're only discussing from the standpoint of a shvua's bitui, an express shvua. Okay. Yesh neder. I'm sorry. Period. Adkan. That takes us to the end of the Gemara's discussion. Okay. A Mishnah, again, what we're trying to accomplish over here in the second parak of Nedarim is we're comparing and contrasting, right? The Mishnah yesterday started the discussion that there are chumras by Nedarim that you don't have by Shavuos, and so, and the example, the prime example of that is what yesterday's daf discussed, and that is that I can't make a shvua on a mitzvah, just doesn't have any chalos, there's no effectiveness to it whatsoever, it's mushba va'omeid, in other words, you already have a counter shvua going the other direction, you already told the Kadosh Baruch Hu that you were going to do the mitzvah, that goes back to Mamet Har Sinai, and then but by neder, you can make a neder on a mitzvah. And again, the basic difference why that should be, we said this yesterday, but it's one of those points we keep hammering again and again. It's like one of those like core points of the Masechta, is that a shvua is on you and the neder is on the item, on the object. So if, as it relates to you, obviously if you already are bound by the Torah, then you have to do a mitzvah, so you making a shvua otherwise is a totally irrelevant shvua. Because you're already bound that you're already mushbav omid, you already made a shvua that you're going to do it. If it's going on a chefetz, which is a neder, so that can work. Meaning, I have to fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah. But when I make a neder, I'm making a neder not on me, I'm making a neder on that object. That object is prohibited to me. So then it would, so under those circumstances, it would work. Okay, that was yesterday's daf, and then we just concluded. Now we move on to the Mishnah, on Yuzayin Amud Aleph, and we're now going to be contrasting in the other direction. In which, well, not yet. Again, we're still comparing and contrasting, but we're still explaining how there are chumras by neder. So what's another chumra that we have when it relates to neder? Yesh neder besoch neder. You can have a neder within a neder. Explanation coming in just a moment. Ein shvua besoch shvua, but there's no shvua within a shvua. Okay, so let's go over an example, the example of the Mishnah, Ketzad. So let's illustrate this through an example. Amar, Hareini Nazir im Ochel. Hareini Nazir im Ochel. So he makes two utterances out of his mouth. He says, I'm going to become a Nazir, but only if I eat this loaf of bread. Followed immediately with the next sentence of, I'm going to be a Nazir if I eat this loaf of bread. So now he just uttered it out of his mouth twice. And here, once again, like we've had earlier in the Masechta, he doesn't just simply say he's a Nazir. He has a trigger. He builds a trigger into it. And the trigger is he's going to eat a loaf of bread. And I said loaf. And later in the Gemara, we're going to be a little bit more specific of how much bread he needs to eat. V'achal, now he eats the bread. So now he triggered off neder number one and neder number two. Chayav al kol achas v'achas. So now he is bound by both of his nedarim. So that means that he has to serve two nazirus terms. Now, obviously, cannot serve them concurrently. Not like our. Sometimes you'll hear in our penal code that you could serve them concurrently. Okay, you can't serve the two naziris concurrently. One is going to have to be followed by the other. And let's just assume, because it's simple and that's usually the case, or if he doesn't declare how long his naziris is going to be, it's for 30 days. So that means that he's going to have to serve one naziris for 30 days, followed by another naziris for another 30 days. And then he's going to have to bring two sets of carbon, meaning there are two totally separate commitments of Nazirus, and he's got to bring carbon for both. Let's contrast that now to Shvua. The Mishnah goes on to say, Shvua shalo achal, Shvua shalo achal. So let's say that cake in front of him looks delicious, and he really wants to not eat that cake. So he makes Shvua number one. He binds himself by his shvur that he's not going to eat that cake. And then, just to make sure he gets it, he's going to reinforce with a second shvur. And then va'achal. However, temptation got the best of him, and he ate the cake. Eino chayv ela achas. So here, he is not doubly bound by his double shvur. In other words, the first shvur is there, the first shvur exists, the second shvur cannot overlay on top of the second shvur. Okay. Well, I'm sorry. If he puts a trigger into the shvua, if he does a double shvua, the second one's not going to lay on top of the first one. Okay. Yeah. Correct. Correct. In fact, you're segueing to the Amud Beis. On the Amud Beis, we're going to be discussing your issue. What if there are two different shvuos, which is going to be our discussion later this morning. In the Mishnah, I'm sure you noticed, but let's just point it out because it's such a fine point, and it really it's really clear in the Mishnah. The Mishnah is comparing neder and shvuah, right? Obviously. And the point the Mishnah is making is that by a neder, you can make a neder, and you can make another neder immediately following. And one is going to overlap on top of the other. Now, the Ron points out over here, before I get to the larger point, the Ron points out over here, well, why don't you serve them concurrently? So the Ron says it just simply doesn't work. Meaning, by Nazirus, you have to serve each one separately. But the Ron points out, but they both were chal at the same time. Meaning, when the person makes the utterance and he says, I'm going to be a Nazir, followed by I'm going to be a Nazir, so ring him up once, ring him up a second time. You can't serve them out concurrently because then they're totally, they're not recognizable. The second one won't be recognizable if he's serving the second one together with the first. So he'll serve the second one at a later point in time. But the chalos, but the effectiveness has to start today. And if it doesn't start today, so the Ron points out, then there's obviously not going to be a serving of that second term. Okay, but in other words, but you can make that statement, and that statement is going to doubly bind you. Okay, but here's a larger point which is interesting, and that is the Mishnah is giving an example of neder besoch neder versus shvur besoch shvur. And then what's the example that the Mishnah gives in terms of neder besoch neder? The example the Mishnah gives is nazirus. Right? It's a little bit odd, isn't it? Meaning that if you were to give an example of neder, what would be the quote-unquote simpler example of neder? Right. I mean, carbon, yes, but I'm saying neder would be, this item is prohibited to me. In other words, you turn to an item and you say, this item is prohibited to me. That's neder. But it's interesting that the Mishnah fast-forwarded over what is a simple, straightforward example of neder and goes straight to nazirus. Right? And why would that be? I mean, if you take a look at Tosfos over here, he makes this point. Because if I made a double neder, and I say, again, let's point to this fictitious piece of cake right in front of me, and I said, I'm not going to eat this cake by a neder. I'm bound by a neder not to eat the cake. Now again, neder is going on the object, so I have to say, the cake is forbidden to me, or konam, right? The cake is going to be like a carbon, which means I won't be able to eat it. And then let's say I follow it up with a second neder. And then that second neder, I say, okay, now the cake is going to be forbidden to me. Would that be a double neder? Would that be a neder besoch neder? So Tosfos says, no, of course not. Of course not. Because in the case I just illustrated, so once the cake is like a carbon, right, let's go to the case of carbon. If I declare an animal to be a carbon, can I recarbon it? No, I
but if you say that I'm going to be a carbon, I'm going to be a carbon, that could be a two carbon, no?
Right, but we're talking about neder in the most classic sense. In the classic sense, you're declaring something to be forbidden to you. So once I declare this item to be forbidden to me, and I say that again, and I say this item is going to be forbidden to me a second time, right, we have a principle throughout Shas. I mean, Tosfos quotes it over here, Ein Isser Chalal Isser. So Tosfos points out, and it's interesting, and it is a larger point. Even though the Mishnah is making this very broad statement, the Mishnah says ein neder besoch neder, but there is shvur. I'm sorry, other way. Right, thank you. Yesh neder besoch neder, but ein shvur besoch shvur. And the Mishnah seems like it's making these large brushstrokes, these large distinctions. But the truth of the matter is that even within neder, it's not perfectly true. Meaning, in the example of the cake, if I say this cake is going to be a carbon to me, and then I say it again, what was my second statement adding to the first statement? Honestly, nothing. So, really, the only illustration of this point of yesh neder besoch neder is only limited to the scenario of nazir. Which then, once again, just in terms of larger issues, then begs the question, when we talk about nazir, is nazir more similar to a neder, or is nazir more similar to a shvuah? We point this out all the way back on day one of the Masechta. I mean, if you remember the first Mishnah in Nedarim, that was day one, 2.5 weeks ago. So the Mishnah says, Kol kinu nedarim ki nedarim, v'charamim ki charamim, u'shvuos ki shvuos. Right, the nickname of a neder is a neder. The nickname of a cherem is a cherem. The nickname of a shvuah is a shvuah. And then the Mishnah says, "Unaziris ki naziris," and the nickname of a nazir is naziris. Right, kinuim, nicknames. Right, one of the first discussions we had in the Masechta. And it's just interesting that the Mishnah over there goes over the category of neder, and then cherem, wherever cherem belongs, then the category of shvuah, and then the category of nazir. It's like nazir, kind of like. Where is nazir? Is it something similar to neder? Is it something similar to shvuah? So on one hand, I could certainly see that it's something similar to neder, because if you read the parsha of nazirus, you'll see that the Torah uses the term neder over there. But when a person becomes a nazir, what is he saying? Is he saying all the grapes in the world are forbidden to me? I mean, maybe that could be, and all the wine in the world is forbidden to me. But more probably, what he's saying is, I'm a nazir, meaning it's really more of a function of him than it is the items of the world. And as a result of being a nazir, now he can't eat grapes and he can't drink wine, etc., etc. So again, it's just one of those larger issues of where exactly does nazir fit? Does it fit better in the world of nedarim, or does it fit better in the world of shvuos, or maybe it's kind of like a hybrid? There's no practical difference, but it. That point is really highlighted here in our Mishnah, because our Mishnah says, give me an example of neder besoch neder. And the Mishnah says, yeah, nazir. Because if it's just a classic neder, it really doesn't work. You can't re-asser an item that's already asser to you. It's somewhere, right? It's hard to put your finger on what exactly, where exactly it fits in better. And it could be that it's, you know, maybe it's its own separate category. All right. Good. So let's just review what we learned together in the Mishnah. That by neder, if I make two concurrent nedarim, and again, the example is nazirus, where I say I'm going to be a nazir, followed by I'm going to be a nazir. So then the Mishnah told us that you're bound, doubly bound, and you have to serve your two nazirus back to back, but not concurrently. If I say shvua, shvua, I'm not going to eat this loaf of bread, and followed by I'm not going to eat this loaf of bread, so then the second shvua is not chal, because the first shvua already covers it. That's what we learned together in the Mishnah. Now we start with the Gemara. Now here we're going to take an odd turn, and that is that we're not going to start the Gemara. because the Gemara is missing. I know this sounds strange, but you take a look at the Ran. The Ran is the second wide line second very wide line of the Ran, where the Ran points out that we have a missing piece of Gemara. So what we're going to do is I'm going to read it in the Ran, and in other words, there's a question and an answer within the Gemara that we don't have in our editions of Shas, but the Ran had it, and the Ran, and therefore let's incorporate it into our Gemara. So you see where I'm going to go now. I'm not going to read the Gemara. I'm going to read in the Ran, two lines down. Came into Amarini Nazir, Havale Nazir. V'chi achel tuva umasrin bay mechayva kol achila v'achila. Okay. V'aydi diktani shvur shlo ochel tanina miharini nazir im ochel ul'olam gabi nazir lo tzarech lememer im ochel. Okay. I just read through those two lines of the Ran. Zu hagirsa ksuva b'mitzas nuschaus. This is a text of Gemara that's found in many editions. Right? I'm sure everyone appreciates, or if not, let's appreciate. In other words, the Gemara back then, in the time of the Rishonim, what did the Gemara look like? So the Gemara looked like a handwritten document, because it was a handwritten document. And many times when you copy from one to another, so sometimes mistakes creep in when you copy your errors, and sometimes entire lines of Gemara were either included or omitted. And so just imagine for just a moment where, you know, you have, let's say, two copies of the Gemara. And so very often you compare the two copies of the Gemara and they're not exactly the same. So right, it's interesting. It's a bit of a dilemma. So what do you do? So the Rishonim spent a lot of time going over what is quote-unquote the correct girsa of the Gemara. Right? That continued all the way to, I don't know if I could put a point where it ended, where like yourselves no longer became an issue, but if I can, I'm not sure if I'm right about this point, but like the Gra kind of like is the end of this of Girsaus, meaning the Vilna Gaon lived in the 18th century. So he every now and then you're going to find in the Gemara that he either adds a word or deletes a word in the Gemara because he feels that it's more correct. Vilna Gaon knew the Gemara backwards forwards. His mastery of the Gemara is totally unparalleled, and so he was the last one who put a stamp on it. But in other words, we're already back at the time of the Rishonim. So the Rishonim sometimes had that. They had lines of Gemara, which in some editions existed, in some editions did not exist.
The one that mostly used is the Vilna edition that's on the ground.
Right, correct. Well, that's, you know.
They had another Gemara to compare it to?
Yeah.
No.
I wasn't there, so it's hard for me to gauge. But sometimes logic, and sometimes they literally had two manuscripts of Gemara sitting right in front of them. So, then you have to not only learn the Gemara, but you have to also then analyze the two and say which one is, you know, seemingly the better Girsa, the more correct Girsa. Or in this case, you know, Girsa's that in some editions just simply wasn't there. Okay, now, with all that stated, with that introduction, so let's go through these two lines of Gemara. What does it mean? V'hachi perusha. So the Ran's great. He spells everything out. So the Ran says, and let me explain to you now what these two lines of Gemara actually mean. Kevin Damer Harani Nazir. Let me do this outside. I'll get through the faster version of the Ran, but I encourage you, please read it inside. It's very interesting. Here's what bothers the Gemara. Again, not the Gemara that we have in front of us, but the Gemara, the Ran's edition of the Gemara. Here's what bothers the Gemara. What was the case of the Mishnah in terms of the double Nazir? He says, I'm going to be a Nazir if I eat this bread, followed by immediately afterwards saying, I'm going to be a Nazir if I eat that bread. Okay. And if he eats the bread, so now he's going to be bound by two Nazirus, and he's going to have to serve two terms. That's the point of the Mishnah. What bothers the Gemara is that if we want to construct a scenario in which he's going to be doubly bound, so he didn't have to say, I'm going to be Nazir if I eat, I'm going to be Nazir if I eat. It would be sufficient if he said, I'm going to be Nazir if I eat, and every time he eats, he's going to be a Nazir. Meaning the act of eating by itself is triggering the Nazirus. So every... Huh? Wait, just one second. So every time he eats, he's going to be a Nazir. Now, the Ran goes on to say, and again, all this is in the Ran, I'm just paraphrasing. please, I highly encourage you to read inside later. But the the Ran says, but even as the Gemara asks this question, the Gemara recognizes, first of all, when we talk about eating bread, so, like we say throughout Shas, what does that mean? Eating, it means eat a kazais. Okay, in other words, it has to be a halachically recognized amount of food, so let's talk about a kazais of bread. And the Ran also goes on to say, and it's not that he just eating, with no recognition of, oh my gosh, every time, like ring him up, every time he's eating, okay, there's another nazir, but someone has to warn you before you eat bread. And someone has to say to you, hey, wait a second, don't you remember? You really tried, you tried so hard not to eat that bread. And to motivate yourself, you said, every time I eat, I'm going to be a nazir. And you need someone to stand by you and give you a hasra and give you a warning every time you eat, because with every eating that you do, with every kazayis of bread that you put in your mouth, you're going to be chayv another naziris. So what bothers the Gemara now is the question the Gemara is asking is, why does the Mishnah have to be somewhat verbose in the way it's presenting the scenario? I'm going to be a nazir if I eat bread, follow with, I'm going to be a nazir if I eat bread. Even if he just said, I'm going to be nazir if I eat bread, just one time, with every eating is going to pop out a new commitment, a new nazir's commitment.
But then he says two, it's two of them. With one act, he's going to have two periods.
Correct, but the Gemara...
Say two, just one.
Correct, but the Gemara's question is, I can come out with two, even with one statement. Because if he's connecting his naziris to a trigger of eating,
right,
so every time he eats, he's going to be a nazir.
One, or for one period.
That's
but,
for,
but if he said twice, then
okay,
one
go,
act, he's going
well,
to have two periods.
Right, and what the Gemara's answer is, okay, so, I mean, basically, what the Gemara's answer is that no point? The point is well taken, meaning absolutely right. The only thing the Mishnah wanted to do was strike a contrast between Nazir and Shvua. In the case of Shvua, the only way we can have a double Shvua, and then again, when I say can have a double Shvua, you can't have a double Shvua. But for the Mishnah to articulate a case of a double Shvua, he has to make two utterances. There's no other way to do it. I'm not going to eat this cake, followed then by, I'm not going to eat this cake. So we're looking for parallelism in the Mishnah. That's why the Mishnah is giving us a scenario by Nazir where he says, I'm going to be a Nazir, followed by I'm going to be a Nazir. But it would be true that if he says, I'm going to be a Nazir with the eating of the bread, so that means then that every time he ate bread, again, a kazayis of bread, with a warning beforehand, he's going to be a Nazir. And the only thing the Mishnah wanted to do was just create a parallel between the case of Shvua and the case of Nazir.
When he says, if one time, that I'm not going to eat, so if when he eats, he's going to be 30 days of Nazir.
That's no. If his statement was, I'll be a Nazir if I eat this loaf of bread.
Okay, so if he eats, he's going to be Nazir for one period, 30 days. But if he says, I'm Nazir twice, when he eats, he's going to have two 30 days. Right or wrong?
No, in other words, if he just connects, afterwards come to me and we'll discuss this point of the Ran even further. But that's the basic idea of the Ran. Again, just it's an interesting note. In other words, that it is possible. In other words, what we got out of this Ran is this idea that he can trigger multiple naziros even with one statement. Okay, and the Ran and the way the Ran understands the Gemara, point taken. Meaning, yes, you're right. But the reason why the Mishnah constructed this scenario is just to create a nice foil between the case of Neder and the case of Shvua. Okay, Ad Kan takes us to the end of that discussion. I really gave a summary of the Ran. It's a seat inside. Let's start now to what we have in our Gemara. Amar Rav Huna. So what we're going to have now in our Gemara is a basic machlokas. What did we learn together in our Mishnah? That if a person says, I'm going to be a Nazir, followed by, I'm going to be a Nazir, so that is, ring him up for two. He's now going to be serving a two-term Nazirus. He cannot serve them concurrently, so he's going to serve one, then followed by another. And by the way, and again, the Ran makes this point back all the way back in the Mishnah, I just state the obvious. You don't have to, in order to do this double nazir, you don't have to make it contingent on the eating of bread. In other words, you could just simply say, I'm going to be a nazir, follow with I'm going to be a nazir, and the same result would yield. He's going to have to serve two naziris. And again, the only reason why the Mishnah said it triggered it with the eating of bread is because it wanted the parallel scenario by Shvua. Okay. Just to make that point as clear as possible. The Gemara starts off now with a machlokas amongst the Amoraim. And so let's introduce ourselves to this machlokus. Am Rav Huna. Lo shanu al adam harini nazar yam harini nazar lamachar. Rav Huna says that the only way that this neder can be formulated, where both nedarim, and again, when I say neder over here, I mean nazir, where both nazirs are going to take effect, is only when statement number one is, I'm going to be a nazir today. Statement number two is, and I'm going to be a nazir tomorrow. Ava, I'm sorry.
How can it be tomorrow? You're already a nazir.
Good. That's a great question. Just wait 1 second. Demigu dekamitosef yuma yisera, chayla nazirus al nazirus. Because what does two do? The second neder adds to the first. Because the first commits him to what? To be a nazir for 30 days. What's the second statement that comes out of his mouth? That commits him to be a nazir, and he's starting the second one tomorrow. Okay, now, as Alex pointed out, tomorrow already he's a nazir, based on the first statement. But if we could just imagine for just a moment that if the second one started tomorrow, which it's not going to, but at least it will add 1 day. Because the first one only goes 30 days from today. The second one goes 30 days from tomorrow. So in the very least, it's going to add 1 day. And because it adds 1 day, so therefore, there's something to that second statement that he made, which adds to the first. And because it adds, you can't serve a 1 day nazirus. It doesn't work. By definition, the minimum amount of being a nazir is 30 days. And the Gemara Nazir tells us, and this again, I'm just going back to the Ran quotes the Gemara Nazir, and the Gemara Nazir says, let's say a person were to make a statement and say, you know, I want to be a nazir for 1 day. Interesting. What happens? He's a nazir for 30 days. Meaning, in other words, there's no such animal as a nazir for less than 30 days. And he commits himself to being a nazir. Now, he wants to qualify what the terms of his nazirus are. That's good for him. But it's not good for him. Meaning, by definition, a nazir is 30 days. So since that second statement gives one more day of nazirus, that's why we're going to count it as a second term of nazirus. However, says Rav Huna, Aval, Amarini nazir, Yamarini nazir, but if he says, I'm going to start my Nazirus today. And the second statement is, and I'm going to start my Nazirus today. So then, ain't chal Nazirus on Nazirus. So then we don't have overlapping Nazirus. The second statement is totally ignored. That, and has no effectiveness. That's the opinion of Rav Huna.
Doesn't
read well in the Mishnah. Good. Good. Stay tuned. That's obviously where we're going with this discussion. And Shmuel simply disagrees. No. The Mishnah's point is Hareini Nazir Ayom, followed then by Hareini Nazir Ayom, and he makes both declarative statements on the same day, starting on the same day. So now he's bound with a double Nazirus. Now again, you can't serve them concurrently, so obviously the second one is only going to begin after the first one ends, and as Danny pointed out, you're going to have to bring Karbanos for both. But in other words, the Chiddush of the Mishnah is that even if he makes both statements today, even if he tries to start both of them today, they're both going to be effective. That's Shmuel's position. Okay. Ule Rav Huna. So, a number of issues. In other words, if, on one hand, what does Rav Huna have going for him? What does he have in his corner? He has a logical argument. Meaning that if he says, I'm going to be a nazir today, but I'm going to be a nazir today, like what did the second statement add to the first statement? The answer, of course, is nothing. And so really he should be bound to now having to serve two terms of Nazirus. So what Rav Huna has going for him is logic. Meaning Rav Huna's argument is that the only way the second statement can take effect is only if it adds something to the first statement. What does Shmuel have going for him? The Mishnah. Meaning the Mishnah is obviously giving us a Chiddush. And it sounds pretty clear from the Mishnah that even if both statements are repetitive, that's exactly the point of the Mishnah. That despite the fact that it's a repetitive statement, he's going to have to serve both Nazirus. So what really Shmuel's got going for him is the Mishnah. And that's essentially what the Gemara is going to say. Let's see this together inside. We're on the bottom of Yuzayin Amad Aleph. Ule Rav Huna. Ad tani en shvua besoch shvua. Lesne yesh neder besoch neder vein neder besoch neder. Let's ask a simple question. According to Rav Huna, there is a way to formulate nazir, a double nazir, where it works, and there's a way to formulate a double nazir when it doesn't work. Hareini nazir hayom hareini nazir lamachi yesh neder besoch neder. Meaning, if he says, statement one is, I'm going to be a nazir today. Statement two is, I'm going to start my nazirs tomorrow. Okay, good. So that's a case where one is going to be included in the other. Hareini nazir hayom, hareini nazir hayom, And according to Rav Huna, had he made the statement of Hareini Nazir Yom, statement one, and statement two is Hareini Nazir Yom, ein neder b'soch neder. And so, if I could use terminology that we normally find in the Gemara, the Gemara in Nedarim here doesn't use this terminology. So, right, the Adi, Niflag v'nisne b'didei. Meaning, why doesn't the Mishnah make a sharper distinction even within the case of Neder? According to Rav Huna, here's a case where I do have overlapping Nedarim, and here's a case where I don't have overlapping Nedarim. And why did the Mishnah have to go jump all the way from Neder to Shvua to show this contrast? The contrast could exist even in the world of Nedarim. To which the Gemara says, Kasha. You know what? Good. That's a good question. So before we go to sleep tonight, so the Gemara says, I'll give you something to think about. According to Rav Huna, why did the Mishnah construct the contrasting scenarios within Adarim? Good. Kasha. Okay, and this we find in many other Gemaras earlier, where the Gemara just simply has a question, doesn't have an answer, Gemara just sends it off. Now, Gemara doesn't use the word Tiyufta. Tiyufta means that Rav Huna's position is refuted. It's not refuted, but it's difficult. Okay, Tanan. Yesh neder b'soch neder v'ein shvua b'soch shvua. Okay, again, the Mishnah. Simple presentation of the Mishnah. The Mishnah is contrasting a case where there is a double neder, where there is not a double shvua. Now, heichidami. That's, in other words, good. That's the Mishnah. What would be the case of the Mishnah? So the Gemara says, now, let's say, Rav Huna, let's say you're right. Let's say the case of neder is statement number one, I'm a nazir today. Statement number two, I'm a nazir tomorrow. Okay, good. Now, obviously, the Mishnah is trying to create a parallel between the case of neder and the case of shvua. What's the parallel case in shvua? Meaning, the case in neder is statement one is I'm a nazir today. Statement two is I'm a nazir tomorrow. If we were now to draw a parallel scenario in shvua, how would it look? So the Gemara suggests the following: the kavasega b'shvua shelo ochel te'enim v'chazav amar shvua shelo ochel anavim. Oh. It must be a scenario where shvua number one is I'm not going to eat figs. Shvua number two is I'm not going to eat grapes. Right? And right now the Gemara feels that this is a fair parallel because today is not tomorrow and tomorrow is not today. Meaning if the neder or nazir statement is I'm going to be a nazir today and the second statement is I'm going to be a nazir tomorrow, those are really two different statements. And if I am going to draw a parallel to the case of Shavua, it would be one Shavua is I'm not going to eat figs, and the second Shavua is I'm not going to eat grapes. Now, if that's... Just one second. Now, if that's true, so let's think this through even further. If the person made those two Shavuas, is the second Shavua going to be Chal? Of course. So that... Of course. So I'm Milo Chal Shavua Shavua. So, of course the second Shavua would be Chal, because the Shavua has nothing to do with the first Shavua. So, Ela Hechidami Delo Chal Shavua Shavua. So now let's just go in the other direction. So what's got to be the case of Shavua? It has to be where the second statement is simply a repetition of the first statement. Kigon Damar Shavua Shalom Ochel Te'enim V'chazav Amar Shavua Shalom Ochel Te'enim. It has to be where the Shavua is not to eat figs, followed then by, hey, I'm not going to eat figs. And in other words, and bound by Shavua. And the second statement is obviously not going to have any effectiveness whatsoever, because the first statement already covered it. Good. That's got to be the case of Shavua. Now, let's go backwards. Now we're going to draw a parallel scenario of the case of Nazir. It's got to be that in the first part of the Mishnah, when doing the double Nazirus, it's got to be the second statement is a perfect repetition of the first statement. I will be an Nazir followed with, I will be an Nazir. V'ketani, yesh neder v'soch neder. And what's the Mishnah teaching us? Yeah. And now he's going to be bound by both Nazirus. And he's going to have to serve two Nazirus. Again, not concurrently. Again, one after the other. But they're both going to take effect. Kasha l'Rav Huna. And that obviously becomes difficult for Rav Huna. Because Rav Huna says, no, under those circumstances it doesn't work. Amalacha Rav Huna. So Rav Huna says, no. Masnis and dam areini nazar ayam areini nazar l'machar. So Rav Huna says no. Again, what Rav Huna is going to have to say, because again, he's he's bent on the idea that a second Nazirus, which doesn't add anything to the first Nazirus, is just, it has no validity. So the Mishnah obviously is talking about a case where the statement number one is, I'm going to be a Nazir today. Statement number two is, I'm going to be a Nazir tomorrow. Fine. Gabe Shvua, now, here becomes a problem. If that's the case of Nazir, what's the parallel case in the world of Shvuos? The Amar Shalo Ochel Te'enim V'chazav Amar Shvuos Shalo Ochel Te'enim V'anavim. Okay, so here's where the parallel is. In the case of Shvuos, number one is, I'm not going to eat figs. Shvuos number two is, I'm not going to eat figs and grapes. Okay, now let's do this a little slower, because here it gets a little tricky. Now, why is this a good parallel? So, again, I'm speaking the run outside. Please look it inside. Obviously, you see it's a little bit lengthy, but let's speak it out together. Outside. Let's start with Nazir. In the case of Nazir, so he's saying, statement number one is, I'm going to be a Nazir today. Great. So that means that starting today, for the next 30 days, actually 29 days, right, today being day number one, but for the next 30 days, he's now going to be a Nazir. And statement number two is, I'm going to be a Nazir tomorrow. So now, if we were to draw a Venn diagram, so over here, we would have two circles. They wouldn't be overlapping one over the other, but there'd be a lot of overlap. In fact, they would mostly overlap. But in the two circles that we've drawn, I know I didn't draw it on the board, but it's pretty easy to visualize. In the two circles that we've drawn, so they're mostly over one another, and there's a lot of area where both circles are covering, but one circle is, you know, there's room in one circle that does not overlap in the other circle because one starts today and the other starts tomorrow. Fine. And in that case, Rav Huna says, you're bound by both because the two circles are not perfectly overlapping one over the other. Now let's go to the case of Shvuah. In the case of Shvuah, so how does it work? Shvuah number one is, I'm not eating figs. Okay, so that's one circle. Now, Shvuah number two is, I'm not eating figs and grapes. Now, the Ran says, now, this next part is tricky. I'm going to go with the Ran's preferred explanation. And again, you could see the Ran inside later, where the Ran offers another way to look at this. But this is the Ran's preferred explanation. In the second Shvuah, the only way he'll be violating his second Shvuah is by eating both. In other words, it's not that the second Shvuah is going to prohibit him from eating either figs or grapes, but in Shvuah number two, the only way to successfully violate the second Shvuah is he's got to eat figs and grapes. He's got to sit down at the table. I don't know if both have to be out at the same time, but he's got to eat both figs and grapes.
Yes,
I get. I don't know. Right, that part needs to be sharpened. I'm not sure, but in other words, but the Ran says that would be Shvuah number two. So once again, in our constructed circles, so Shvuah number one says I'm not eating figs. Shvuah number two is I'm not eating figs and grapes. So Shvuah number two, there is overlap for sure, because in other words, if he ate just figs by itself, so he has violated Shvuah number one, and he's halfway to violating Shvuah number two. But he's not going to be violating Shvuah number two until he eats grapes as well. So there is overlap between the two. So Rav Huna says that's the parallel cases of the Mishnah between the case of Nazir and the case of Shvuah. Now with all that stated, so Rav Huna says, good. In the case of Shvuah, and here you really have to apply thought. In the case, well, let's start with the case of Nazir because that's easier. In the case of Nazir, so he's bound by both. Why is he bound by both? Because the circles are not directly one over the other. There's a little bit of area where they exist independently.
You can argue that since each term of Nazir is 30 days and they're independent, the circle is actually apart.
Right. Well,
because Nazir, he's not going to do
right.
30.
Understood. Understood. But again, I'm just right now I'm presenting his argument. Presenting the argument of Rav Huna. So in the case of Nazir, because the circles are not directly one over the other, so therefore they're both going to take effect. Because there's a little bit of room where they exist independently. Fine. In the case of Shvuah, it's not going to take effect. Now this part needs thought. They're not going to take effect. In other words, Shvuah number two is not going to take effect over Shvuah number one. Why not? Because in Shvur number one, what has he declared? He's declared that that's it. He's swearing off figs, literally swearing off figs. In other words, no more figs for me. I'm done. My last time I had figs, it was a terrible experience, and that's it. In Shvur number two, so what is he doing? He's swearing off figs and grapes. And again, according to the Ran, you're only going to be violating the Shvur if I eat both. Shvur number two is not going to take effect, and do you know why? Because a Shvur is only going to be valid if the totality of your statement can take effect. But if the totality of your statement cannot take effect, so then none of your statement can take effect. Fine. So that now means then that in the case of Shvur, the reason why Shvur number two is not going to take effect is because since part of it is not taking effect, all of it's not taking effect. And that is the contrasting scenarios of Neder versus Shvur according to Rav Huna. But you have to understand, in order to make this point, Rav Huna really has to arrive at a Chiddush. And that is that in the case of Shvur, where Shvur number one was, I'm not eating figs. Shvur number two is, I'm not eating figs and dates. Shvur number two does not take effect. That's a Chiddush. You could have made the argument, well, what are you talking about? In other words, Shvur number two is different. Shvur number two is figs and grapes. But that's a Chiddush. And that's what Rav Huna is saying. That no, since he already is bound by Shvur not to eat figs, Shvur number two, already figs is already off limits to him. And because figs already is off limits to him, so too is the combination of figs and dates. Figs and dates, the Shvur is just simply not going to be an effective Shvur. Okay. To which now the Gemara says, this is a great way to explain the Mishnah, but only if you subscribe to the Chiddush of Rav Huna. And that's what bothers the Gemara. Right, sorry, I lost my spot. Amar ochel tainim because of Amar shvur shlo ochel tainim va'anavim. The lochayla. The Gemara says v'hama rava. Okay, hama rava. We are right in the middle of Yudzayinam and Beis, and the Gemara says, but wait a second. We have a statement made by Rava, and the statement goes like this: shvur shlo ochel tainim. Rava's statement. Now, Rava's statement taught us in Masech Shavuos, but obviously now in our context it has perfect relevance. A person makes a shvur that he's not going to eat figs. And then statement number two is he's not going to be, the second shvur is that he's not going to eat figs and grapes. And then, let's say as follows. Let's say he ate figs in perfect violation with his first shvur. And someone tapped him on the shoulder and said, you know what you just did? And he looks at the fig that he just ate, the remaining fig of what he just ate, and he says, oh no, you're right. I made a shvur that I wasn't supposed to eat figs, and I ate a fig. Oh, so what do you have to do? So, like we described in the beginning of today's shiur, so he's got to bring a karbon, meaning he violated his shvur. He was bound by his shvur not to eat a fig, and he ate a fig. So now he separated his shvur, and now he separated a karbon. And the idea of separation of karbon is just simply, I acknowledge what I did is wrong, I'm bringing a carbon. He didn't actually bring the carbon, but he set it aside. He designated a carbon. Good. Now, v'chazav achal anavim. So now, after that, goes back to the table, okay, learned his lesson. He's not going to eat any more figs. But what does he do? So he eats grapes. So, hav yiluhu anavim chatzi shir. V'ein mevin carbon a chatzi shir. So now, on the grapes that he just ate, he's not going to bring a carbon. But do you know why he's not going to bring a carbon on the eating of the grapes? Because, pay careful attention now to what the Gemara says. He's not going to be violating the shvua of eating grapes because chatzi shir. He only violated half of the second shvua. And in order to be chayv, you have to violate the entire second shvua. Oh, but what do you see over here? That the second shvua does in fact take effect. The only thing that gave him a pass on that second shvua was the fact that he only violated half of that second shvua. Had he violated all the second shvua, so then he'd have to bring a carbon. So alma hechad amar shvua shlo achal tainim v'chazav amar shvua shlo achal tainim v'anavim migedachal shvua anavim chayla nami al tainim. So you see that what does Rabbah demonstrate? What do we see from Rabbah? That both shvuas take effect. Shvur number one and Shvur number two. And the only reason why he gets a pass over here is because he only ate grapes. He didn't eat figs. Now, you'll argue, what do you mean? He did eat figs. Yeah, but that eating of the figs was a violation of Shavuot number one, and he acknowledged that he did it was wrong, and he already brought a carbon. And now when he sat down at the table, so in order to violate Shavuot number two, he's got to eat the combo, figs and grapes. And because he only ate grapes and not figs, so that's only chatzi shir. And you don't bring a carbon and chatzi shir. But what you see from all this is that there is Shavuot number one, registered, all right, he's bound by it, and Shavuot number two, registered, and he's bound by it. Ah, so but right, but Rav Hun, I'm sorry, but according to Rabba, both shavuos would in fact take effect. What is Rav Huna trying to argue? That in our Mishnah is describing that very scenario, and what's Rav Huna saying? That the second shavua does not take effect. So Rav Huna and Rabba are inconsistent. To which the Gemara says that's absolutely correct. Rav Huna lo sri le karaba, correct. Rav Huna and Rabba are simply inconsistent. Okay, let's summarize, and we'll pick it up tomorrow. So again, today we finished up the discussion of making a shvuah to negate doing a mitzvah. That shvuah has no effectiveness whatsoever. Two pesukim to speak to that idea. One pasuk by shvuah, another pasuk by the karban. And then the Mishnah talks about neder besoch neder and shvuah besoch shvuah. There is a neder within a neder, although the application is really by nazirus. There is no shvuah besoch shvuah, and then the machlokes between Rav Huna and Shmuel. Exactly what does that mean? That there are concurrent nazirus. Shmuel takes the bigger chiddush, which is really the simple pshat in our Mishnah, is that even if both of them start effective today, he's going to be bound by both nazirus. Obviously, he cannot serve them concurrently. And according to Rav Huna, no. The only way that you can make neder besoch neder is if you start one today and you start the other one tomorrow. But if you started both today, so then the second does not take effect. And then the Gemara's attack on Rav Huna, based on our Mishnah, and as of right now, the Gemara is still defending the position of Rav Huna.